Today is the joyful feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It is a companion feast with what we celebrated yesterday, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. At least that's the term Pope Francis would call it, companion feast. That's not the official term. In fact, officially, yesterday was a solemnity, so a very, very high feast day. Today is a memorial, kind of a lower rank of feast day. But for us, in other words, these feast days go together. They're inseparable because the hearts of Jesus and Mary are inseparable. It would be impossible to think about one without the other. Not that they're the same. In fact, on one level, you could say they're nothing alike, because Jesus is God, and no one can compare to God. And Jesus' heart is filled with the furnace of divine love. Mary, on the other hand, is the lowly servant, and that's how she describes herself, a lowly servant, a creature, unworthy, she would say. Yes. So, yes, we can't really compare the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary any more than we can compare the sun and the moon. But on the other hand, just like the sun and the moon look like they're the same size to us, because God has made his divine love available in a human heart, because God became man and made it possible for divine love to reign in this world, he also made it possible for human hearts to reflect him. And this is where Mary comes in. She's the perfect reflection of the heart of Jesus. So in that sense, they are very similar, because her heart so perfectly reflects the heart of Jesus, like a mirror reflecting the sun. Is the mirror the equal to the sun? No, but you can't look in a mirror any more than you can look into the sun, because it's just as bright. So it's something like that. That's what we celebrate today. Now, in the Anuim spirituality, we always honor Jesus and Mary together, and the approach that is clear from the Anuim at the foot of the cross, and from our motto here, we will look upon him whom we have pierced. The feast days that reflect this most obviously are in September, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross and Our Lady of Sorrows, September 14 and 15. Those feasts, liturgically speaking, are the older ones, celebrated for centuries. Today, yesterday and today, we're celebrating actually the same mystery, the same union of hearts, the same correspondence of Mary with Jesus, but in a little bit deeper sense, because it's as if we're looking into the heart of what was going on at the cross, into the depths of the hearts of Jesus and Mary as they offer themselves in love. And these feast days are newer, and they're based not only on the sacred scriptures, but also, because the feast days in September are clearly related to scriptural passages, but today's feast and yesterday's feast are boosted by a private revelation. Yesterday, this Feast of the Sacred Heart has roots in the private revelation to St. Margaret Mary in the 17th century. Not only her, but especially her. And then the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary got its special boost in the 20th century when Mary appeared to the three shepherd children at Fatima. In Fatima, Mary often spoke about her Immaculate Heart, about devotion to her Immaculate Heart, about consecration to her Immaculate Heart. And she said at one point, I think it was the third apparition, when she said, "My Immaculate Heart will triumph. My Immaculate Heart will triumph." The theologians have been trying to figure out what exactly that meant ever since. But it's clearly a prophecy of something great, something positive. Another indication of why we have hope. This is Jubilee year. We're all pilgrims of hope. Why do we have hope? Because yesterday we reflected, we have hope because of the love of God in the heart of Jesus, the love of God poured out for us and into us. That was yesterday's focus. But today we're reminded we also have hope because of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. "My Immaculate Heart will triumph," she said. And Mary she spoke about a lot of difficult things in Fatima, about wars, about offenses against God, about the annihilation of nations, about the sufferings of the Holy Father, and many things, but as if to say, don't be defeated by the difficulties that go along with God establishing his kingdom. Don't be defeated, don't be discouraged, because my Immaculate Heart will triumph. Meaning, anyone who unites himself or herself with the heart of Mary is thereby united with the victory of Jesus over sin and death. And that's our hope. Okay, so we're celebrating the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's a very profound feast. And in the readings, there's a mention of the Heart of Mary. In fact, the theme that was selected for today's Mass is the very last line of today's Gospel. His mother kept all these things in her heart. We could say in her Immaculate Heart. There are actually two places in the Gospels that mention Mary's heart, explicitly mention Mary's heart. One of them is inscribed on the memorial wall of Father Francis. I'm sure you have seen it. The line where it says Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. That comes from Luke 2:19. That's from when the shepherds came right after Jesus was born. So that passage about Mary's heart is about what Mary kept in her heart at Jesus' birth. Today's passage, this comes from Luke 2:51, comes from the event 12 years later, when Jesus was 12 years old, and it says Mary also kept these things in her heart. Well, they're two different events, but Mary does the same thing in both cases. One thing we can learn from today's Gospel is that Mary kept things in her heart that she did not understand. She was very puzzled by Jesus' behavior staying behind in Jerusalem. She thought he should have traveled with herself, with St. Joseph, with the clan traveling back to Nazareth, but he didn't. And the Gospel says it clearly. And when Jesus said, did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? It says they did not understand what he said to them. So Mary didn't understand what was going on here. And yet, she didn't reject it either. She kept it in her heart. This is important for us if we're going to have an understanding of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because very often things happen in God's plan that we don't understand. Both great things and what seem to us to be terrible things. We don't understand them. And Mary didn't either. We can't understand how God can be three persons in one God. We can't understand how God could become man. We don't understand how Jesus can give himself to us in the form of bread and wine in the Eucharist. We can't understand it. It's beyond the grasp of our minds. But we can still treasure these things as revealed, as beautiful, as wonderful truths. We also don't understand when things go badly, when there's suffering, when there's death, when there's contradiction, conflict, war. Doesn't make sense to us. And like Mary, we might say, well, why are you doing this? Why did you do this, God? And God's response is mysterious to us. We don't understand. What are we supposed to do when that happens? What Mary did, what Mary does. Take this in, accepting the Word of God, the mysteries of God, trusting that what he's doing is good, that his plan is good, that our best response is to put our faith in him. That's Mary. That's the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's what our hearts are supposed to be like. Now, it's interesting that today we have a contrast with this Heart of Mary. The first reading exposes the heart of Sarah, the wife of Abraham. So this reading is not chosen for the feast day. It just happens to fall on Saturday of the 12th week. And I confused our lector because she thought we would be reading the special reading for the feast day, which is also an option. But we took the option of using the reading for Saturday of the 12th week, and it happens to be about Abraham receiving the three mysterious visitors And the visitors, or at least one of them, says, Sarah is going to have a son by this time next year. Sarah doesn't understand it. She thinks it's funny. She even says, I'm all withered and my husband is so old. It's impossible. I'm too old. And so she rejects this revelation from the Lord, or this message from the angel. She laughs at it. And then, of course, the Lord points out to her, why did you laugh? And she says, I didn't laugh. He says, yes, you did. I know your heart. Why do I bring this up? Because we see an exact contrast between the heart of Sarah, who doubted and laughed, who didn't accept the message of the angel, and Mary, who, even though she didn't understand it, she accepted the message of the angel. She accepted the mysterious, incomprehensible plan of God. Sarah says, it's impossible for an old lady to have a child with an old husband. Well, it's even more impossible for a virgin to have a child with no husband, with no man at all. That's more impossible. But Mary, in her immaculate heart, accepts what's revealed by God. Not because she understands it, but because she trusts in God. That's the immaculate heart of Mary. Okay, so that's what we're honoring today. But this feast also says something to us about our own hearts. Just like yesterday when we were reflecting on the heart of Jesus, we were also told our heart is supposed to be a heart of love like that. In today's feast, we're told that our heart is supposed to be like the heart of Mary. This comes out in the collect of today's Mass, the opening prayer. Listen to this. O God, who prepared a fit dwelling place for the Holy Spirit in the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Interesting way of describing her heart. Rather than saying her heart was the throne of the Son, her womb is the throne of the Son. No, it says here, her heart was a fit dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. So that acknowledges what Mary's heart is. Then it says, we say to the Father, graciously grant that through her intercession, we may be a worthy temple of your glory. Just like Mary's immaculate heart is a fitting dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, may we also be a fitting dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, a worthy temple for your glory. Well, how can that happen? How can we be a worthy dwelling place for the Holy Spirit? How can we be a temple for God's glory? Again, we unite ourselves with Mary. Mary, who's perfectly united with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Mary, who makes it possible for our hearts to be like her heart. This is what we do in Anuam, you know. Pondering the word is a way of receiving this gift. And receiving Holy Communion, the Eucharist, and adoring the Eucharist is a way of receiving this gift, the Word and the Eucharist. Listen to what we have here. I read again this little description of the companion feasts in the Anuam Way. It's page 97. It says, the icon of Our Lady of the Liturgical Life, this icon here, the side altar. In this icon, the Sacred Heart appears superimposed on the Eucharistic host, so that's Jesus, and enshrined within the heart of Our Queen Mother. That's there. Heart of Jesus, heart of Mary. This symbolizes their mysterious compenetration of hearts. The heart of Jesus in the heart of Mary. That's in the icon. That's in the mystery of God in heaven. But then it says, when we receive the Eucharist, I was talking about us here. When we receive the Eucharist, we are drawn into this union. The union of the hearts of Jesus and Mary. Do we understand this? No. Mary didn't understand it either, but we can receive it with faith in our hearts. When we receive the Eucharist, we are drawn into this union. We become like Mary, enshrining the heart of Jesus in our own hearts. Thus, the Church grows in unity, a sacred communion of hearts. Not just Jesus and Mary, but everyone united with them. A sacred communion of hearts through the power of the Eucharist received in the Immaculate Faith, or the Immaculate Heart of Mary, our mother. So that's what we're celebrating today. Might sound a little mysterious or a little grand. It is mysterious, it is grand, it's beautiful, but it's also true. And so we accept it with joy, with confidence in God, with hope in God, with hope that her Immaculate Heart will triumph, not only at the end of time, but that her Immaculate Heart will triumph in us today as we turn away from sin and as we accept the Gospel and we accept the Eucharist with faith. So happy feast day to everybody, Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary.